There was a bit of news this week that I thought was pretty cool that maybe some of you saw about ravens. Did any of you see about ravens? You know, ravens are smart. Well, they're smarter than we thought. And I'm going to quote from this article. It says, "New research shows that ravens can plan ahead for different types of events and even resist the urge to take an immediate reward in favor of getting a better one in the future. These capacities are often considered the exclusive domain of humans and great apes, so their presence in birds comes as a surprise. Animals that can't plan ahead live in the moment and act in accordance to immediate needs. Their lives are a flow of action and reaction." It sounds sort of like mine, actually. But animals that can anticipate the future, on the other hand, can use or build tools to perform a task, engage in bartering behaviors, and exert self-control. Now, previously, apart from humans, the great apes were the only animals that were known to do this. And then this is a quote from one of the researchers. "Being able to wait and think things over before acting is at the core of intelligence and probably explains why corvids are so smart." So being able to wait and think things over before acting is at the core of intelligence. And there's a whole lot of stuff in that that's really interesting. But for tonight, the reason I bring that up is because these ravens are a really good example of the sixth of the most excellent practices that we've been looking at. It's usually translated as patience, sometimes forbearance or endurance. Tonight I'm going to focus on one aspect of that, in fact, an aspect of the aspect, and I'm calling it waiting. So the sixth most excellent practice is renamed by me waiting, the practice of waiting. So traditionally, the practice of patience is broken up into three sort of different realms. The patience of perseverance, patience in the face of insult, and patience in accepting the truth. So the patience of perseverance relates to our ability to keep on with our practice despite frustrations and doubts and setbacks. Patience of accepting the truth is about our willingness to accept what's actually going on at this moment, moment by moment. Both of those things we've sort of talked about before and we'll no doubt talk about again, but what I'm focusing on tonight is the patience in the face of insult. And I'm going to narrow it down, because even that's quite broad, to something which I call waiting in the face of unpleasantness. So let me tell you a little bit more about the ravens. This is sort of what happened in this study. The ravens first discovered that they could use a particular tool to open a particular container that had a nice treat inside. And so then, if they were offered a bunch of different things that they could have, and one was the tool, they would choose the tool mostly, and then later on be able to open the container. So that shows that they can plan ahead. But then when it gets really cool, because they then offered the ravens a selection of things which included the tool, but it also included a treat. It was just not as good a treat as the one that was in the box. And 80-something percent of the time, they would choose the tool rather than having a treat now. They would take the tool, and then they would have to wait, and they sometimes as long as 17 hours before they were given the box so that they could open the box and get their nice treat. So I think that's pretty amazing. I think I would have trouble doing that myself. But the ravens did it. So I'm calling this waiting in the face of unpleasantness. So what's unpleasant about getting a nice treat? Well, the ravens had to wait while they didn't have the immediate treat, and they also didn't know how long they were going to have to wait before they got their nice treat. That was unpleasant. even though they knew there was something coming, they still had to wait and not be denied the pleasure of the treat. And it didn't say anything in the article about them, pounding their claws on the ground or, getting angry or upset or demanding attention or anything like that. They just waited, right? They just waited, and then eventually they got their treat. Of course, I don't know what the ravens felt like inside. They might have been very impatient inside. They might have been wanting to peck the eyes out of their keepers for the entire 17 hours. But whatever they felt inside, outside, they just waited. And that's important because the practice of waiting does not require that we have internal peace or patience inside. It's an external action that we choose to do. So patience, internal patience, which is a nice thing, will manifest at times as external waiting. But the external, the intentional decision to wait, regardless of how you feel, will also help cultivate that internal patience, right? So the two work hand in hand. You don't have to have a lot of calm inside to act patient, but the more you decide to be patient, the more that will grow, and then the more that will come naturally one day in the far distant future, in my case. So it's an action regardless of our state, right? We'll keep this in mind as we move into something that's not deferred gratification, because it's a little easier to wait when you know there's something good coming. Traditionally, I've said that what I'm calling patience or waiting in the face of unpleasantness is traditionally called patience in the face of insult. I've changed the words because insult is not necessarily limited to an external aggression towards you. Someone is being unkind or whatever. I think we all can see the benefit of pausing and not returning anger for anger and all of that. But also, insult can be perceived insult. And by insult, I mean something negative. Not necessarily someone calling you names, but something unpleasant, perceived or even unconscious that might be triggered or habitual. So the other person involved may not have any idea that what they've just done is causing some issue with you. That's a perceived unpleasantness, a perceived insult, and the waiting still becomes important there, or especially becomes important there. So let me tell you about my trip to California last week. My mother turned 89, and we had a really great trip. She stopped driving recently, which is really good for the city of Palo Alto. But it makes her obviously feel less independent and less in control. And so when I showed up with a rental car, she had a long list of places she wanted me to take her. And she wanted to tell me exactly how to get there, which she's always done, but it's a little more so now. She needs to be in control. I grew up in Palo Alto, and the area near where we live hasn't changed that much. So at first it was sort of, endearing. We'd be driving along and she'd say, "No, turn right there." It's like, okay, I usually go that way, but I'll turn right here, or it's no, don't turn there, go up to the next corner. And, very emphatic, so that was fine for a while. And then it also happened in the grocery store. Not this aisle, that aisle. I'm saying, but it says, no, this aisle. Okay. So by the time we were going home, it was beginning to get a little bit annoying. And we drove past my old junior high school, which is about half a mile from home, maybe, or maybe a mile. I rode my bike there and back every day for 2 years. I went past it for my whole growing up because it's on the way to everything. You know, I have my own way of going home, but it's not her way. So I'm about to turn, and she says, "No, no, go straight." And I could feel myself getting a little tense. And I thought, okay, it's fine. I'll go up to the light and go that way. And so we're going up to the light, and then suddenly it's, "Wait, there, turn that way." And I just sort of lost it inside. And what came into my mind, fully formed, was, "I know how to get home from my own junior high school. Thank you very much." Fortunately, it was a sudden maneuver I had to make, and there was traffic and people, and so I had to pay attention. I wasn't able to get that out of my mouth at that time. And by the time we were finally heading calmly east, that urge had passed to speak. I was still pissed off, but I no longer had to say them. And that was really good, because in the past I've said them. It might happen in the future that I'll not be able to control my tongue. But it would have sort of put a damper on the day and maybe on the rest of the trip, caused some tension. So I was really glad that I hadn't said anything. And it got me watching for the rest of the trip, the way I was responding to people. And I tried every time I was going to say something to just wait 5 seconds or 10 seconds if I could before I spoke. Not even when I was angry. And there were times when I got frustrated when I was glad to have become aware of that. But it was really interesting to notice how much 5 seconds can make a difference. You just get over that impulse, and you can still be angry and pissed off and have no equanimity and no compassion and no kindness, but at least you don't open your mouth, and it can change, you know, the whole direction that the day is going. This might sound like things we've talked about in the past, about being mindful in situations, feeling, noticing what we're feeling, noticing our reactions so that we can react appropriately, learning how to be aware of what's actually going on versus what our stories are that we're making up. But this idea of waiting that I'm talking about is even before that. It saves the day when you haven't got any mindfulness in mind. So it's great if you can go into a difficult situation mindful and aware of your body and listening to your thoughts and all of that. But if you just haven't got any of that, you forget or you're too angry or whatever, you can still get into the habit of pausing for 5 seconds before you speak. And that's really good. I can see why this is one of the most excellent practices. And this is just one part of that practice. So, in conclusion, waiting in the face of unpleasantness does not require spiritual prowess or deep insight. It can help cultivate that, but you can be as unspiritual as you ever were and still be able to practice this practice. And it only takes 5 seconds or a little patience.